little bit of bickering about the prices because I thought it was extremely high. And so that's why you don't see the fence up yet. First quote I got was for $4,700 to install about 50 feet of fencing. Whereas just a year and a half ago, they installed 150 feet of the same fence for $4,300. So I'm in the middle of that. I may go out to another company and try to get an additional quote. I just felt like that was an extremely high price. And I just wanted to let council know what was going on there. Other than that, I believe I'm number four on old business, unless y'all want to talk about that now.
So we move that up because I know some people
they probably want to go home. John,
we'll make a motion. We move it up.
Second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Mike, we move y'all up now. So focus.
In the January council meeting, council authorized me to have a surveyor develop the plat according to the option D the council approved for lot placement design. You should have that in your packet there. After I had that map drawn by Pat Bristo, it went for the planning board for approval pursuant to chapter 15 of our ordinances that has to do with subdivisions. Planning and zoning has approved the subdivision plat as it's drawn, and according to town ordinances, you can let that approval stay, and it's good for 2 years, or you can approve that approval and tell me to go record this property into the register of deeds. It's up to you. As it stands right now, I believe that these lots and the way they're drawn meet the intent and the structure of our town ordinances. All the lots exceed minimum size requirements. Drainage easements are drawn in for our public works director and other recorded easements on the property, and I believe it's ready to move forward.
Well, so I think we've got some other questions now, right? They came up, right? I'm not sure how to address them all.
I think this should be continued until we have a public hearing and all the other stuff. Yeah, go ahead if you want.
Go ahead with my additional questions for Mr. Betts.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I guess one of my questions would be whether or not this subdivision plat addresses the runoff issues created by the additional non-permeable surfaces.
They meet the lot size requirements for our town ordinances, and the way our ordinances are written, stormwater drainage would have to be retained on side percent to the street. There are additional instances in the chapter 15 that preclude the flats of this size from having to obtain a state stormwater permit.
Okay, and that's sort of my concern, if I may. I think you guys probably have copies of this somewhere in your archives.
If I may continue, though, we do have a stormwater permitting process that is in play within the town right now, and our public works director is the executor of that ordinance. We could make that condition of each one of these deeds on these lots that you have to install a stormwater system for each lot to be maintained on each lot for their stormwater.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say is I've got a correspondence that was created by the consulting engineers that did the original permitting for the operative Curie Dunes phase and the operative beach walk phase that addresses the additional runoff requirements that would be created by the additional impervious areas if you built in these lots. And
can you give us copies?
Yeah, I mean, I can hand you up these copies.
No, that's fine.
I mean, you might be interested just in looking.
I am.
It says, the town of Curie Beach does not plan to develop these lots at this time. However, we're requesting that this permit modification include approval for the eventuality to prevent the town of Curie Beach from having to revisit the Curie Dunes Phase 2 stormwater permit again in the future. That's in 98. And there's another one here that talks about design capacity for the existing Curie Dunes Phase 2 pond, which is the pond that we're talking about here, which doesn't exist anymore, says if the existing pond is removed and eventually developed as four additional lots, which is apparently what they were talking about 16 years ago, the following additional quantity of runoff could be expected. And then it's got, you know, another 21,430 square feet based on undeveloped portions of the lots and the impervious surfaces of the roofs of the driveway. So basically, it seems as though that this, and this is an environmental engineer, NCDENR letter, that 16 years ago there was concerns about whether or not the permitting that was issued for Curie Dunes and Beach Walk would be sufficient to accommodate residential development on these parcels.
16 years ago, we didn't have the stormwater.
Kind of approach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't have stormwater that we have now that they're all contained on property.
Who was that addressed to?
I think it's to Lisa Lewis, who's the consulting engineer.
Linda Lewis. Linda Lewis.
She's lovely.
So, I mean, understand, Mr. Batson, I'm not arguing that it wouldn't meet permitting. I'm just suggesting that there's correspondence that gives us concern.
Sure.
And I mean, if it meets permitting,
well,
that would be somewhat reassuring, but I'm still concerned about Beach Walk because their pond is having a difficult time accommodating the runoff that's got already.
Well, at the public hearing, I would recommend what John said, that each of these lots are engineered so that no stormwater runs off of them. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We have an engineering plot plan now that the city has enforced. Each lot contains all the stormwater runoff for that lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how exactly do you do that, if you don't mind me asking?
You did.
You're talking about gutters and drain barrels and...
Well, I don't know about rain barrels.
That's actually being engineered and permitted by the state.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so one, I don't know that I would do that, right? So, Mike... I think we should talk about it. There's a bunch of issues we should talk about. Stormwater is one of them. But this says that with those four lots built out, the pond is sufficient and has 3,424 surplus capacity. So it was considered when they did that.
That was Mr. Hagler. And then elsewhere it seems to suggest that it's only sufficient if the pond is there. And I know that's internally inconsistent, but...
Yeah, we'll go offline, right? So I'll be glad to go offline with you and the engineer and the lawyer. But I think there's multiple issues that I think we need to figure out what all the issues are before we have a public hearing so we can address all of them, right?
So, and I agree with that. I looked at the replacement deed and the new deed that Joe Hearn executed in 2008, again, references the property as it is. A property that was designated as a detention pond. And I'm just not a qualified real estate lawyer to know whether or not that detention pond designation precludes it from being subject to our restrictive covenants. So we would need to get an engineer's opinion on the runoff issue, and we would need to get a legal opinion from a qualified lawyer who's not me on the title issue associated with the restrictive covenants. And those are our two big concerns.
Right.
And Bill Ferris is here from Beach Walk, and they've got concerns as well. And it's a lot of votes and a lot of rooftops between the two subdivisions. So I want to appeal to you just pragmatically as your constituents and say, you know, we're hoping that you can, you know, appease our concerns here.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of concerns. I think what we should work on, and I'll be glad to work for council if they want me to, is to capture all the concerns and then see if we address all of them, right? So the council, at least I don't think, we're not in a hurry to sell the land, but we are in a hurry to classify what can be done with it, what we're going to do. Because I can tell you the consideration of the council, one of the considerations is, as we're cramped for space, if we wouldn't have had a better option, it was parking the garbage truck right there in the corral or on this land. And I think none of you guys want to own on that land. And we don't think you do either, right? Right? And so once it gets out of bounds for that, then it's like, well, what should the town do with this property? Right?
As liaison of public works, David is the person that should be doing this.
Right. So
if we have a liaison that we could work with, that would be really reassuring to us. If there was somebody we could talk to and start hammering those things out, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, right. I think, you know, if council takes that consensus, what I'd propose a path forward is to work with Beach Walk and Carrie Dunes, thank you. Getting old, right? And identify all the issues around this property so we can see if we would address them, how we would move forward, yeah. Right? But I think this is a good start from the town's perspective. Like, okay, this is what we would consider we would do with it right now. Now let's answer what all the other issues are, right? And I think you guys have brought up a couple. I think Bill Ferris will be a good person to work with to bring up some more. And let's just talk through all of them and see where we end up.
Yeah. Another question for Mr. Batson. I mean, you've sort of got a cul-de-sac at the end of Anchor Way now, but I thought a cul-de-sac had to have a DOT-required turnaround that was big enough for a fire truck to turn around inside it, where some kind of a hammerhead turn. How is that a legal road?
Town ordinance says that it has to be at least 200 feet before a cul-de-sac is required.
Okay.
Right. So it's just a dead end road.
It's 100 feet.
It's 100. It's not
back
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Back
yeah. Out. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Do I have a decision that Dave will take care of this?
Well, I'm going to take care of it. Flesh out the issues will be better.
Flesh out the issues.
I think it'll get taken care of. This right.
I don't have a problem with that. We need to consider what's going on for both of those important items: runoff and. You know, the covenants.
Well, I think we'll flesh out other issues potentially, but it should be all the issues, right?
I don't think any of us up here were on council when this happened, right. Other than Barry.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, other than, and Barry, you know, got the deed from the gentleman, so that's what we'll do. All right, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Very much.
Mm-hmm. John, did you have anything else?
I guess I'm going to stick with the other.
Okay, thanks.
John, can I ask you a question while you're up here? How much money do we collect on privilege license?
Depending on what privilege license you're speaking of. No, for a general contractor, we charge $10.
No, I don't mean individually. How much per year do we normally receive? What's our revenue?
You had nothing wrong, right?
About
$4,500. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all.
Well, in one of the applicants for the attorney, he has a very good write-up in here about the legal update in the legislature and what's coming up this year. And for those of you who are going to Raleigh, I think this is an excellent, excellent section to look over, and hope you will go to the League of Municipalities meeting and learn more about it. This obviously would not affect us nearly right. as much as it would all of the large cities in the state, and you know, we need to be thinking about whether or not we would support the other communities.
Charlie, you still here?
He actually is least expensive. And
did Charlie leave? Yeah,
that's he can't get night or something.
Okay.
No.
You're
right,
Dave.
Oh, I'm up?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So the emergency operations plan, unfortunately, it is that time of year. I got to go back to my page. So I did not get any recommended updates from the department heads or council, but I think Emily has some questions if you want to start there.
Sure.
Can you tell me page and there's a copy in your old business, the very first one.
Okay. Page 211.
2-11.
Okay. You talk about the hazardous analysis, and you have hurricanes and, you know, excessive rainfall and all from hurricanes and tornadoes. We don't have very much. Winter storms, you talk about snow and ice and blizzard conditions, but there is nothing in here that addresses things like nor'easters, which we have just as extreme wind conditions and mainly flooding conditions. In the 14 years I've been here, our biggest flood problems that we've experienced on our end of the town have been from nor'easters, not hurricanes and not blizzards. And I was just wondering if somehow that could be addressed in there. And I believe most of them are during the winter, though. So if you would take that into consideration, I'd appreciate it.
So are you proposing we would execute the emergency operation plan for a heavy rainfall? I mean, I understand it's inconvenient to the citizens, but there's no hazard of life or other than the department heads operating to clean drains.
Right. And that time that we had 20-some inches, it got pretty dangerous where we were. And we had vehicles. That's when we had the sinkholes and some vehicles that were having problems even staying on the road driving. And fortunately, we didn't have any accidents from it or problems from it.
Okay, so I'll look at number 13, flooding from significant rainfall events.
Yeah. And also, I'm glad you recognize the Brunswick Nuclear Power Facility in here, but I'm wondering, there's no mention at all of Sunny Point, and supposedly that's why we have our buffer zone, and if we did have any kind of attack, which I know you've indicated is very unlikely for us, but I would say that would be the first place they would strike. And I didn't know if you wanted to mention something about us being so close to Sunny Point or addressing that in some way in that same section.
Okay. I'll look at that. The county does not. Brunswick County may, so we'll see.
Carolina okay. Beach.
Yeah, that,
anything on there?
No.
That would be interesting.
I encourage you to compare a plan to theirs. But yeah. Okay.
Okay. On page B1A1. It's Annex B, Tab A.
Yeah.
Aaron talks about preparedness and hurricane checkoff and evacuation. And we talk about information being released by radio and television and the media. Doesn't say anything about social media, you know, website, internet, or anything like that. And I thought maybe that would bring it more up to date.
Okay.
Okay. More people may try to get their information that way than trying to watch television or listen to the radio. On the next page, under the following are not allowed in shelters, cats except for guide dogs. As a matter of fact, Noble Middle School is classified as their shelter to accept pets. And if for some reason Noble is not opened as a shelter, they would designate another one, but they will have at least one shelter in the county that would accept people with their pets.
I'll just put in unless separately designated for pets.
Okay.
Okay.
And let's see, on page C43, excuse me.
Needs to be updated, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. And doesn't say anything about the EOC volunteers having to be trained under any of these or what entry level they are.
Okay. So, any other proposals? So, I'll go back and consider the proposals and bring it to you, but what I was prepared to come to this meeting is request adoption of the emergency operations plan in accordance with our requirements prior to June 1st, with the exception of Annex C, which needs to be updated with training requirements. I'm waiting on the county. And so I'll bring a separate change, but what I'd like to do is adopt it so that we can go into the we can get the department heads to start doing their preparatory phases, since none of Emily's requested changes were in the preparation phase. So make a motion to adopt the emergency operation plan with the exception of Annex C, which is the training portion, for 2014, and I'll work on a change to be presented by July.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Request council's consensus in having the town clerk direct the department heads to make preparations for hurricane season 2014 in accordance with the adopted plan.
Consensus?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Nancy, you got that? If you could just forward a note to them. And you go through their sessions and make sure they're ready. Thank you.
Update on proposed pool installation at 510 North 4th Fisher. In your packet, you'll have a section which was drawn by the pool company. They turned the pool sideways, and it doesn't extend as far into the dunes as it originally did.
Previously extended 40 feet, it now extends 28.
Yes.
Good job.
Okay. Now this is a little bit of a stickler for John because if the Army wants to tear it out, they can. So.
Well, the Army doesn't tear it out, the actual homeowner has to tear it out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah,
isn't that right?
Yes.
The way the encouragement agreement reads, yes.
Yeah, and if they don't, we tear it out and build them against their property, right? Okay.
So do I have a motion to let these people build their pool?
This is conforming to what the two of you looked at earlier, right? Yeah, your recommendation?
Yes.
I make a motion we approve the encroachment agreement. And if it's properly executed, allow the building inspector to give them a building permit.
Do I have a second?
Second. As the building commissioner, I was trying not to do that.
That's
all
right.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
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 Yeah, you
want to
make it?
One
day.
Yeah, 4-1.
Emily's four to one. Four or what?
Yes.
Okay, 4-4.
4-1.
Hagley. Been like swimming, evidently. Okay.
Just one pool, right? 100 yards just to the east.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry. Don't be sorry. Go to the conference. And experience. John, appreciate you.
New business, Fort Fisher parking opportunity.
Okay. Lady and gentlemen of the council, I have approached the current owner of the former Prairie Beach Motel to use that lot for parking. Put a proposal to him for the payment of $2,000 to use that lot. We would maintain it. We would, ingress and egress, all that data is in my note. I was able to reach him today. They are not happy at $2,000. They would like $7,500. The only thing that I would mention to this group, if we want to talk about it, is the original forecast was that Sunny would spend $4,800, and that this would cost us $2,000 or $6,800. Sunny is now, I believe, of the opinion that he could get this done for about $1,700. I didn't know if we wanted to make a counteroffer to him for the remainder of that money or not. Frankly, it's a healthy sum of money when our tax return on this lot is $2,500.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm open to input if council would like me to continue to pursue this or if we should let this thing...
So my only concern is, do we think long-term we would ever buy these and make a parking lot? Because we start a parking lot, people get used to it, and then we take it away. I don't know if that's really going good or not.
That's an excellent question.
I mean, one, I appreciate your work on it because we're thinking outside the box, right? So don't get me wrong. When I saw your email, I was like, wow, that's really cool. And then I started thinking, well, so we get everyone used to parking there, right? And then it gets built up and gone. I don't know which way the businesses would think. I just don't know if we want to do that.
John, could he actually have private parking that he charges for there?
Yes.
Okay.
He could. I mean, that came to my mind, too, if he would do it.
Well, he's not going to make any money. I guess he can get a kid to sit out there for nothing.
Yeah.
Take half the money.
Well, I would tell him thanks, but no thanks.
That's our consensus.
Well, my concern is if we thought we were going to be able to expand parking downtown, mm-hmm. then I would feel okay about it. But I think we give people just into the use of lots of extra parking, and then it goes away. I don't know that I don't like Gaylord means something that expires and then
it's really more gone. Exciting.
Yeah, it'd be like it'd go away the week after July 4th too, right?
Yeah,
just after
right.
We spent all that money. I don't know. But it's a cool idea.
All right. I will tell him thanks for the consideration.
So now
our offer is withdrawn.
The other thing, are we keeping people off there or is he just keeping people off there? I mean, just in general. Does it have?
Yeah.
It's got some good parking signs.
Okay, I haven't looked in a while.
Pretty good about it.
Yeah, I've noticed that one's parked there. Yeah, okay.
All right, thanks. So, weddings on the beach.
I'm sorry, so that was a consensus
for me? We're not going to move on.
Okay, I bring this up because in the marketing committee, you know, we're looking at the plan, which will be brought before the council next month for the coming year. And not just this year, but, you know, I guess ever since I've been on the council, I've asked them about marketing Curie Beach as a location for weddings. I understand there are between 36 and 38,000 weddings in New Hanover County a year. And of course, most of them are conducted in churches. But they are for people all over the United States and really all over the world from many, many other countries, or at least this is what I understand from some of our wedding planners. And we are never, and Carolina Beach either, never being marketed as a destination for weddings. And so I started looking into it because I had a couple of questions from one of our wedding planners who said that on a couple of the sites, and I don't know specifically which ones because I didn't get into details, but a couple of websites on weddings, it indicated that weddings were not allowed in Curie Beach. Then there was some consideration about we would allow weddings but no tents and no chairs, and we have a new company in Carolina Beach that rents tents and chairs and things, and they have understood as a brand new company that they were not allowed to set up anything on Curie Beach, so they weren't even suggesting it to people. And then I understood we have an in-house regulation that we would limit the number of chairs on the beach to 20 for old people and people with disabilities, but this is not written in our ordinance. I guess my first question that I forgot to ask was, do we require a permit to have a wedding on the beach?
Okay.
We didn't. Okay. I think there are some things we should take into consideration, like no receptions after the weddings. That's what they don't allow them down there in Fort Fisher or most of the other beaches. That does get a little too cumbersome and messy. And this came up a couple of years ago when we were talking about, I think one of them threw paper up in the air instead of rice, and now I understand they're getting these fake flower things from the arts and crafts stores that they use that many of the wedding planners are recommending they not use because it's not good for, no matter where you have it, it's not good for birds and things to leave that around on the ground. You know, little things like that. But I don't understand why we have a limit on chairs. I mean, right now we don't have enough beach to have a large wedding. And from what I understand, the wedding planners right around here are discouraging large weddings, like, you know, 100, anything over 50, because we just don't have the beach to accommodate it anymore. But that the average number that they usually have is like 25. They could have as few as 3, just the minister and the couple. I'd like for us to reconsider the chairs. I spoke to the chief about it, and he said he didn't have any problem. His biggest concern was the one or two people he's run into over the years that wanted to rope it off and not allow the public anywhere near them. And you know, he's only had a couple of them after all these years. I think we're probably lucky, but obviously people are going to have to understand this is a public place, just like it would be in a park or anything else. And if people want to stand there and gawk at you, they're going to do it. But I'd just like for us to be a little bit friendlier when it comes to weddings and let people know that this is a beautiful destination, that we have wonderful motels to stay in here. We have a wonderful pavilion and center here in town where they can have their receptions and, you know, come up more with a list of things like absolutely no alcohol, no any kind of trash or paper or anything like that. And that they have to understand it is a public beach. They cannot discourage citizens from walking by or standing there watching them. But wanted to throw that out to you guys and see what you think.
Well, does anyone even come asked in town hall? And what do we tell them?
You would be surprised at the amount of phone calls we receive about weddings on the beach.
Okay, and so what are the real rules? Because I see them surfing down the avenue all the time, so people are having weddings on Fury Beach.
Yes.
We had at least three in the house just north on E Avenue last year because I was surfing during all of them.
So the rules on the beach are just like any all the rest of the rules on the beach. When people ask about bringing chairs and put together arbors and things like that, that's when I try to calm them down and say, look, this is a public beach. Our beach strand isn't that wide. There's got to be access for emergency vehicles. Everyone else has just as much right as you to be out there. So please try to limit your chairs to around 20, just enough for your elderly people that might be attending, and no structures on the beach whatsoever. If they want to bring out one of those little trellises that, you know, that you can buy at the hardware store or something like that, don't have an issue. But I've had them even come out there and place almost probably 10 by 10 platforms with bamboo poles going up, with streamers running along it, different things like that. And those are the types of things that we are discouraging. I don't believe Fury Beach has ever turned a cold shoulder towards anybody having a wedding on the beach. They're just trying to make sure that there aren't any problems as they do happen. Most of the time they do happen in the late afternoon on Fridays and Saturdays. And most of the people that call up to ask about having their weddings on the beach have no idea where they're going to park their people. They have no idea where they're even going to have this wedding. They just want to know if they can go get married on the beach. My answer is absolutely.
So if they had 25 chairs or 50 chairs, are we not going to let them be out there?
Hopefully, I do not get called about somebody's wedding. It's probably happened a half a dozen times over the last 5 years that I've been called on the bride's wedding day. Let me tell you something, that is not something that I like to go have to do. It's not fun. It hasn't been about chairs, it's been about other issues. The reason I'm discouraging that is because the first person that calls up and says, they've got chairs all over the beach, I can't get by. They're looking at me weird. This is my beach. I'm allowed to walk down this beach anytime I want. What are we supposed to do in instances like that?
Let them know to begin with. It's a public beach.
I can't tell them they can't have 50 chairs out there, really. I kind of discourage it.
Especially if they were all beach chairs.
Sure.
As opposed to just white folding chairs.
Additionally, throughout the summer, the lifeguards try to keep about a 10-foot alley along dune lines for their ATV access. So. That's been my thought process behind it. Over the last year, Nikki has kind of taken over that portion.
Well, I think it would be good if maybe Nikki could come up with a set of guidelines so that we can, like the new company over in Carolina Beach, they said they understood they were not allowed to put any chairs at all on Fury Beach.
I don't know who they've been talking to.
And I think we need to get the word out that we're really very friendly. We do not discourage things like that.
I don't know that we've been unfriendly, and I don't know who they've been talking to either, because Nikki's been directed to do exactly what John has said, and we have it on our website to call, because we have to be cautious in July and August if somebody wants to come in with 150 people and have a wedding on the beach, and they'll tell you it's 20, and then the next thing you know, John's getting calls or the police are getting calls. We have 9 weddings between now and into June at the pavilion, or a combination of the pavilion at the beach, and we've got 4 booked for October and 1 for next May already, so we're starting to get that one out. But the first group that used the pavilion for wedding tried to take the town chairs on the beach because I sat and watched them. They rolled them out. They didn't check the beach first that it was high tide. And they got down there with the beach, with the chairs and realized there was nowhere to put the chairs. So they went back to the pavilion.
That might be something. Yeah, that might be something she could put in the guidelines. Please check the tides.
We can put a little bit more on the website about that. But you have to, it's public beach, and John's never had anything to do with this or any policy.
Yeah.
It's just kind of been.
Well, I think it's individual.
You know, I've gotten asked about having the reception out there. I've gotten asked about having generators and speakers and lights. And,
right.
I mean, if you let them, they're going to do it all, believe me.
Right. Well, no, I think we have a limit here, but somehow this word has gotten out, and I'd like to get our marketing committee and the TVA people to help get the word out there that we do have friendly staff and we are friendly about it, because it's a great way to bring in tourists.
Well, and the last way that we had was for a wedding. They did one in the pavilion and they did one on the beach.
Yeah, I'm looking.
I just wonder who you're talking to. They say that we're not friendly because I get so many calls about weddings that I make a joke of it. I mean, my first question usually is, well, why would you ever want to get married? I mean, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. February through May, I'll probably get at least 100 phone calls about weddings.
Right. Well, I think that's the issue, right? Is that. In my experience, at least down the south end, there's plenty of weddings happening. We have another house on the north end where people are complaining because the wedding parties turn into parties all night long. So I don't know that we need to encourage it any more than it already is.
Well,
we may need to create one company, but
it came up a couple of years ago, I think maybe before you and Steve were on the, or maybe Steve was, but I'm not sure you were on here. And it was the parties afterwards that were a big deal, but you know, as our police chief says, that's not just weddings.
No,
that
it's not.
It could be a girl's weekend out. It could be a fraternity party. It could be a birthday party of any age. And it's not just our wedding people. And I don't think we should penalize them or limit them.
I'm not saying penalize them. I'm not saying add any more encouragement.
No.
Because I don't see it bringing anything into the town, right?
It should be walk-off weddings.
Well, and we've talked about permitting them before,
right.
And that would be a hard one to do, really.
Yeah. No, because you can walk out there. I mean, my daughter, when she eventually gets married, is going to get married at the end of the avenue, she tells me so.
That would be discouraging.
That's what she tells me.
I think now we actually encourage them to use the Oceanfront Park, don't we?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's going to really take off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, sir.
And as people see weddings down there,
the Lord's mouth. The ASONs, the town committees, and their responsibilities. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. I was just make a suggestion when you were talking about additional parking. We brought this up a long time ago. If we go down 6 feet and park on both sides, if that's what you're looking for, that's something like 176 spaces by putting, people pulling in on each side of the tree.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's just to throw out it.
Yeah.
If you need something of that nature to increase parking, but from 6 feet down to here, people just don't want to walk.
Correct.
That's one of the biggest problems. But we do have space that we can add parking if you want to. It's up to what council would like to do. If you do it on the weekends, you would have to have a shuttle.
I'm just
throwing this out at you, just so you can go.
Okay. That would be a nice small business for someone to start.
Liaisons to town committees and their responsibilities. I got word from Eric Van that he has resigned from the Cure Beach Stormwater Environmental Committee. And one of the questions on their plan for what happened last weekend is seismic testing, economy or moral issue.
I did not bring that up.
You did not bring it up.
I did not bring that up. Mo brought it up. And about the time they started discussing it, I had to appear at the council meeting in Carolina Beach. And so I've left the meeting, and I do not know what happened between Eric and the people on the committee. And, but no, I did not bring it up. I have never brought it up to that committee, and I did not ask
them. Did you not say that you can't believe that three council members voted against it?
No, I did not say anything about it. I simply, you know, watched Mo put it on the agenda. I'm not going to tell the committees what they can have on their agenda and what they can't. But she brought it up. I did not suggest it. I did not discuss it. I did not provide them with any information.
Well, that's certainly not what I heard.
Well, in fact, I wasn't even there when they started discussing it.
Well, seismic testing, I mean, economics and moral issue. I have no earthly idea why they even brought it up, why she brought it up.
You would have to ask Mo.
Well, I will. All right. Do we have any other business coming before this council?
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Nice. Man, we got the poll vote. That's not a good job to eat.
You know, I used to come to these meetings and they were 15 minutes.
It's your fault.
It is. It must be.
And then you got to go talk to the poll guy and say, how did y'all do that?
Well, me and him, when we were on the bookends, we used to push to go fast, right?
Yeah.
We're all down here, we're pushing from one side, right? That was kind of our goal, is to go faster.
As always, sir.
Get on the road early?
Yeah.